Today's episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit.
A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. We've reached the end of the Southwest South by Southwest coverage 2024, and we finished with two really great artists. One of them, ladies and gentlemen, is Fredberg. Fredberg is an incredible alt-rock band, London, Berlin-based, led by Anna Fredberg, who's the writer, vocalist, she does the guitar, and some cowbell as well, and her stellar band. Her 2019 debut single, Boom, was a huge success. It was actually in FIFA, the video game 2020. It was on BBC's Normal People series and a whole other more stuff. And she's just an incredible act. Really catchy, really indie. And she did a great job at South by Southwest. One of the buzziest artists here. And to continue the trend, guys, another young artist who we had a chance to connect. Really, really, really great individual presence. The stage name of Southern California recording artist Jonathan Martinez. His musical catalog of nearly two dozen singles is an intimate dive into his struggles with anxiety, depression, grief, and love. Combined with a unique blend of singing and rapping, this vulnerability creates a fluidity of emotions across every project. In 2019, he actually gave a TED Talk titled The Power of Authenticity and the Internet, and it was a really powerful TED Talk. He talks about how, you know, what makes us unique, where stories are important, and where we're all connected. So, 21-year-old, wise beyond his years, we were so glad to catch up with him at South by Southwest. So, thank you guys for all the coverage from Austin. After this episode, we turn the page. We are actually headed on the Midland Cruise, and we have a lot of cool stuff coming in April and May. So, stay tuned on the J-Rod Concerts media channels. But on we go with Fredberg and Presence.
That's my doing, Presence.
I'm doing great, man. Great to be speaking with you, Jamie. Man,
yeah.
I mean, artist, entrepreneur, I mean, songwriter, producer. Yeah. Also, like, TED speaker. I mean, you just do it all.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Just fit in as much as I can in the 24 hours of a day, for sure.
At least. So you just had an incredible, like, packed show in L.A.
Uh-huh.
At the theater there. You have South by Southwest here.
Yeah.
Well, as a guest artist.
Like, that's cool to hear.
What a time for you, right?
Yeah. I didn't know I was one of the buzziest artists. It's crazy, though. Yeah. The show in L.A. was a surreal experience. It was a lot of fans, a lot of friends and family that came out from Camarillo, California, about an hour away where I grew up. So that was cool, too, to just be around the people that I love, seeing my mom in the audience who I was just speaking to you about, who bought me these pants, you know, my girlfriend who I stole this from, all of them in the audience. That was the coolest part for me, for sure. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And, you know, we were talking of Carol at Scared of the Fall, which is one of your incredible great new songs. It seems like, I mean, you're very outspoken and very clear about, like, who you are as a human in your songwriting, which I love.
Thank you.
It sounds like you're in a really good place as an individual. Would that be accurate to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say I get that from my parents, though, for sure. I think being able to just be comfortable in my own skin definitely comes from them. I mean, obviously, I keep talking about my mom, but really, like, she's the root of, like, who I am as an individual and feeling like it's okay to talk about my emotions. I mean, I went into therapy as a little kid because I was having panic attacks, and my parents were comfortable enough to be like, oh, something's not wrong with our kid. He just needs a little bit of help, and they put me in those sessions, and it was from there that I learned to write my feelings out, you know, but this... Even though my therapist was the one who told me, it was my parents who had the initiative to be like, do this thing. It's okay to let that all out. Yeah.
Which is so interesting because, like, mental health is like all the rage now.
You were like, well, I don't.
Yeah, I guess my parents were. I was 11 years old. I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, why is my head spinning all the time? Yeah.
Right. No, you can
really was talking about it. And, you know, therapy, you mentioned it. You wrote a whole album, which is based on those Fridays that you mentioned about therapy.
Yeah. 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 I say my co-writer, Gianni Taylor, I should pay a therapist rate at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because at this point, we go in the studio, and I'm just like, man, I got to get this off my chest. Like, this is something I've been holding in for 15 years, man. Just listen to me. And I feel more comfortable talking to him than even a regular therapist at this point, just because he's like, he's my boy. He's my homie. And I'm able to speak it out. And he's like, I got a lyric idea from that. You know, was Scared of the Fall. I was telling him, man, like, everybody in my life was just dying at one point when I was having, like, the time of my life before that. I'm just, like, scared of, you know, reaching these high places in my life. Otherwise, I feel like the universe is going to crash it out, let things burn. And he's like, I got this idea. Like, am I afraid of getting high or just scared of the fall? And I'm like, waiting for things to go wrong. And then we just bounce off of each other like that, you know?
But you know what's interesting? Because you're such a, your fans love you. And it's only, it's for many reasons. I mean, your music is fantastic. But what I was thinking, like, why else? Like, why is presence such an incredible presence? No pun. on with his fans. And I think one of the things is you took action. Like a lot of people, I was reading about this, you know, they go to therapy and kind of they don't do anything about it. And that makes it worse, like, because people kind of like stay in that loop.
Yeah.
But you like created like album from it, you created art from it, and you're flourishing now. I mean, you're a great example of like taking that and making it into action.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Is that hard to take, you know, action like from like traumas or obstacles and kind of converting it into light and find that to be?
It's easier at this point, but I was just having this conversation with my manager, David, last night when we got back to our space. And we were saying, like, the hardest part, but the most important part of, like, the artistic process is just finishing something. You know, there's, like, so many ideas, there's so many things spinning. But I was saying, like, this record of 12 songs, it's 12 very real experiences I pulled from, like, super authentic things, like, real stories that and things that happened in my life. And those are the 12 songs. We made 12 songs. I'm releasing those 12 songs. It wasn't like, there was definitely other producers I worked with and ideas that were spread out. But like my ideas that I knew, I want this to be what the record is. And then I went into the studio and we started 12 songs, Me, Sweaters, and Gianni. And we finished those 12 and that's the record. It wasn't like we did 100 and we picked 12. We just said, these are the things we're pulling from. This is the first thing that got really sucked out of me when I started talking about it. So that's what this is.
I love that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about your hip hop kind of influence.
Yeah,
as a child, you know, what was it about, you know, R&B and hip hop that like spoke to you from like such a young age?
Dude, that's just like what I grew up on. You know, like my parents are really young. They had me 18, 19 years old, you know, so it was like they grew up in the 90s. They grew up with Tupac, Biggie, 50, you know, and so that's what I grew up on. My dad, who's here with me at South By, he just had binders and binders of like CDs. You know, those were my playlists growing up. Like it was like 3 full binders that we still have to this day, like stored somewhere. And you know, it was anything from like Outkast to Kanye to 50, like I said. And that's what I grew up on. And even just the culture of like movies that I'd watch. My favorite movie as like a little kid was Hardball with like Keanu Reeves. And the picture in there, he's listening to Biggie when he throws. He's like, I love it when you call me Big Papa. So that's what I used to walk around the house saying, you know, I love it when you call me Big Papa. So to this day, my family members, like my aunts and uncles, like they sign like my birthday cards, like to Big Papa, yeah. You know, like that's just what I grew up on, man. Cause my mom and my dad, for sure. I keep mentioning them, but I'm super grateful.
Yeah, no, I love how you took that and you made it like your own sound.
Yeah.
It's really like, I mean, your music is just badass. I just had to like, cause I can let it there ahead because. Yeah, and you can see that, the authenticity and the wordplay. Let me ask about the TED Talk that you had.
Yeah.
It's great. It's online. You speak about authenticity and online and all that. I feel like TED Talks are really difficult because you have like, it's 16 minutes or
something. Yeah.
And, you know, to do like a very complex subject.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you, the preparation? And then like you can kill the delivery, but how was that?
Luckily, TED provided me like a coach that like spoke before and had that experience, you know, coaching people before through those practices. So it was like after school, I'd go to the library and he was waiting for me and we'd be in one of the rooms and he just was like, nah, dude, like be yourself. Like I definitely tried overcomplicating things analytically in my talk at first. And he's like, nah, dude, like just speak from your heart. That's the stuff that moves people, you know, like just tell your story on that stage. So that's what I did. I'm super grateful for that opportunity. It wasn't like Ted just reached out to me or something. It was like a school, an event that my school was putting on, and they were looking for some student speakers. And it was like a panel, and it was like America's Got Talent style, no red buzzer, but there was just like four adults. And it felt like that, you know, I'm walking up there like almost like Shark Tank, I guess, more, because it's like you're pitching your idea. You know, this is what I'm trying to sell on stage. And luckily they bought what I had to sell, I guess. Yeah. I tried. Yeah.
And you know, let's finish off with that. You know, your shows, your live shows are so great. I haven't seen you in person, but from what I saw online, there seems like a resonance, and that's what your fans also say. Do you attribute that to just being authentic? And if so, like, how do you get into state to be on stage, even if you're having like a bad day, you
know? Yeah, it's interesting. My career started in like the backseat of my dad's car. On YouTube, it was a Honda Accord. Yeah, Honda Accord. And he'd sit in the front seat, I'd sit in the back, and he'd just record me. And those were one take things. So that was my experience with live music. Like, I had to learn how to perform a song from front to finish. Otherwise, like, I just had to restart the video. You know, all right, we got to run it back. So that was me, like, going through those motions, practicing to be on a live stage without realizing, like, oh, I'm going to do this, like, in front of people on a stage at some point. I think that mentally prepared me. And also, I mean, with the show in LA, it was great to just have like a supportive like team with me on stage, because definitely it's intimidating. I mean, I've spoken before about how I had a panic attack on stage before, but it was a show where I was just up there like by myself, and it was like a showcase thing, and there was nobody else on me to like to fall back on. Where the show in LA, I had my friends on stage with me, you know, like playing drums, guitar, and piano. And so it was like, okay, like I'm doing this with people that I love. And that's the best part to me. I mean, I keep speaking about Gianni and Sweaters, and to me, it's so special to making this record and looking back at it, because it's like, man, like regardless of the results of what anybody thinks, like I did this with people that I love, and we had a good time doing it. And that's how I feel when I go on stage at this point. I've got Carrot playing with me South by tomorrow night, and I know I'm doing this with somebody that I love. You know, I'm here with my dad, with somebody that I love, and to me, like that's fulfillment. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the theme. If we wrap it up here, for instance, that your music and your artistry resonates with people of all ages and with everyone, because love.
Yeah,
it's filled with love.
Yeah,
and I think that's something that we all need more than ever.
Yeah,
and you're spreading that, man. That's one of your purposes, and that's why everybody loves you, man.
Thank you, dude. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that, man.
How you doing, Rockstar?
Good.
Look at you. I'm starstruck. I've been listening to your stuff so much for the last month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like I am like you. I feel like I am Freebird.
Really?
Yes.
But that's not true.
I mean, it feels. Yeah. It feels.
It feels.
It feels. All the emotions.
All the emotions.
Let me ask you this. So we were just talking off camera. You're here with your band. Mm-hmm. Do you love traveling with your band? Like.
Yeah.
That's 60% of the fun, right?
It is 60% of the fun. I mean, there's ups and downs, but mainly I would say it's just the best thing ever. We're having it the time of our lives.
Yeah.
Playing some shows and then partying and driving around, a little sleep, and next show. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And your new single is fantastic, and you have a new album coming out, if you just say that out loud. But, you know, we were watching some videos of you playing in Cologne.
Yeah.
And Cologne and some gigantic stadiums to like 60,000-70,000 people. Mm. How was that?
Yeah, that was a bit crazy, to be honest, because we were also like a very small crew, you know, we are used to still traveling just a band with maybe one or front of house person or something like that, and then we came in, we had the same setup, and we came to a stadium with like 50,000 people. Yeah, it was actually quite wild.
So the same setup as a dive bar, basically.
Basically,
it's
yeah.
Still the same. Okay.
And so yeah, the first one was actually quite scary. When we actually saw the crowd before we went on stage,
yeah.
We were like, okay, we had to go back and do a few breathing things or something like to calm down. But I think after the first one, it was actually quite okay. And I have to say now that we've played these big shows, I'm almost more nervous when we play small shows. You know, when there's all your friends in the crowd.
That.
Yeah. And it's almost easier to play in front of 50,000 where you don't know anyone, or if you play to 200 people, there's like 100 of your friends. That's
yeah.
Harder. Yeah.
I've heard that, because faces in the crowd is just like dots and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the energy as a vocalist, as a front woman, that must be like incredible feeling. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite crazy actually. It's also a challenge. I like support slots anyways, because I feel like you can only win new fans, and if they don't like it, they don't like it,
right.
But you can only win, basically.
You're right.
Yeah.
And it's like that 45-minute kind of like time, like,
yeah,
which if I was an artist, I'll be my.
I love it. You
45
just,
minutes.
Just play all the bangers.
Exactly, the bangers, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, amazing. Oh God, I have so many questions for you. But, you know, let me ask you about your acting, because
yeah,
it's like you've obviously done some great acting, and you know, you've done all radio, you've done a little bit of everything. Have you thought about going back to acting, or are you like fully devoted to music?
I never really went into acting. That happened kind of on the side. Like directors saw a music video and invited me for casting or something like that, and I would definitely be up for doing more.
Yeah.
I mean, music has always been the main priority, but I like weird films.
Like
and art house films, and so if there's an interesting script, I would definitely be up for it. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So don't call Anna for some fluff movie.
No.
Yeah, it's gotta have some depth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of not fluff, I mean, I love asking people about their influences and stuff, but like you in general, it makes perfect sense. When I read it was like Alanis and Joan Baez and stuff like that. Like when you got like Jagged Little Pill and stuff, like you were like a little ham there in
mm-hmm.
Vienna or Berlin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did that just change the world?
Yes. That album actually changed for me a lot. I mean, yeah, I think she changed a lot for probably lots of people.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole album, every song.
But you specifically, like, what did she change?
I just loved that how kind of down to earth and how natural she was, like a pop star wearing like super oversized t-shirts, just her hair, no makeup, just going wild on stage. I mean, yeah, just a super super big inspiration, I think.
Yeah.
Also the way she sang and her super specific way of singing, and the lyrics were great as well. Has had so much energy as well. Yeah, I think it was amazing. And
yeah, I think she changed everything.
Yeah.
Like, there would be no Olivia Rodrigo, no Billie Eilish,
no.
Without her.
No, she
right?
changed it, yeah.
Yeah, and like as time goes by, she's like, oh my God, you're even more badass than we thought. And we knew you were like a badass.
Yeah.
But you're pretty badass too.
Thanks.
And, you know, let me ask you about like when your songs, because your songs have been on TV shows.
Mm.
They weren't on like video games, on FIFA.
Mm.
Was that kind of weird? Like in a good way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like something that came out of your heart one day.
Mm.
Like you were in the shower and you're like, that song, that thought. And now it's like being played by millions of people around the world. Is that interesting?
That is very weird, yeah. We just shot the music video for Hello for the new single, and even that people like, 20 people worked to build a set for a video for a song that I've written.
Yeah.
Just that it's a bit crazy, yeah, sometimes I think that. And the same, what did you say?
The FIFA?
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
That as well. Because especially that song, we released, almost self-released that song, and that it went on such a journey is actually quite crazy, yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Well, listen, you have a lot going on. Let me leave you with this, though. Your energy is fantastic right now. It really is. It's just like full of joy and passion, and I just feel like you're very like, you know, fulfilled in your own spirit, in your own heart. Where does that come from?
Maybe growing up on the
drugs. No, okay. No, but like, no, I mean it. I really do feel just an incredible aura from it.
I don't know. I mean,
gratitude.
I'm definitely super grateful for. I mean, and I really mean it. I mean, I grew up in a little village with 2,000 people on the countryside.
Yeah. I've seen the photo of you, like little you driving that little car with the
exactly,
yellow
the
hat.
Camping,
yeah, yeah.
The camper of my parents. So I basically grew up super, very normal, you know, like just spending my time outside as a child playing with other kids, and there was not anyone who was into art or music. So I'm still like super grateful that I, on the journey, kind of got out of that little village and met some people on the way, because yeah, I wasn't surrounded by any artists or like-minded people. I think I'm definitely grateful, and I enjoy little things as well, like
that's
good food.
Like, okay, yeah, it's true. You know that.
Or a nice view.
That makes all the difference. You know, our brains are not meant to be to look for good things.
Mm.
They're meant for survival.
Mm.
So when you train yourself like you have, Anna, just to look for the beauty in everything.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Because
if
you want to look for negatives, they're everywhere.
Yeah. You can always see, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you gotta
turn
yourself.
Yeah.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.